You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That was my fault. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 6th of February, 2024. My name is Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X. You can also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube, enjoy the show, hit like and subscribe, send us messages, reviews, all that good stuff. On this week's show, well, a weekend of frustration, disbelief and anger for some. Well, for others, it was relief, enjoyed getting the job done. But away from Stormont, there were two games at the SSE Arena. Giants didn't win any of them, and we'll talk about them without any need for clocks to be cleaned. Adam Keefe and new addition to the roster, Blake Spears, will join us. And we have back-to-back friends of the show. Last week, it was Neil Francis. This week, Mark Lefebvre is going to join us to talk about his Dundee Star side. Player of the Month, news, all the usual stuff. If you're watching live, welcome. Get involved. There's the chat box on YouTube and on Facebook. If you're not watching live, you're listening, send us stuff at AVFTB on Twitter and the likes. We love interacting all through the week. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Patrick, you know... To be quite honest, I haven't had the best of weeks. I have found three things, very important things in life, right? One, skin fades are for young lads. Two, no matter how much you incentivize your children, they will never clean their rooms. Nothing will happen. And three, XG means absolutely nothing. No point tracking it because it doesn't mean a thing.
Is this a reflection of XG in the Elite League or XG just in
general? XG for the Giants over the season. You know, game after game after game. Just under-converting, over-chancing. It's just one of those things. It's a stat that I've thrown in the bin.
Stats do lie? Is this the new approach?
Nah, it's eventually they'll catch up on you.
Sis, how are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah. Seem to be... sparking a little bit of debate today, apparently, but not quite.
Well, I think we can talk about that later.
People are talking about me, they're leaving somebody else alone, as my mum used to say. So
that's my granny would have said that too, mate. Yep.
Always fun on Twitter. Right. Well, it goes without saying. The Belfast Giants undertook two games against the Cardiff Devils this last weekend, and it was two defeats at the hands of Pete Russell's side. I'll run through statistics, then we'll get stuck in to the discussion. First up, it was the game on Saturday, which was a 6-3 win for the Cardiff Devils. Cole Sanford scoring first on the power play. Cooley, Evan Mosey, Tyler Bush, Trevor Cox, and Ollie were the second in the empty net. Made it 6 for the Devils. The 3 for the Giants came from OC, Ben Lake, and Josh Roach. In nets, Tyler Bescarovani was in for 22 minutes before he was pulled. 12 shots on, 4 goals against. Jackson Whistler came in for the remaining 37-38. 11 shots on, 1 goal against. The other side, Ben Bounds, 38 shots on, 3 goals against. Referees for the whole weekend were David Good and Tom Pering. We move on to the following game on this Sunday afternoon. 4,754 people watched a 4-3 win for the Cardiff Devils. 3 power play goals for the Giants. OC opening and scoring yet again. Daniel Tedesco with another power play one, and Aaron Azarian was the 3rd power play goal for the Giants. The other side, Trevor Cox shorthanded. Cole Sanford, Cole Ollie again, and Sanford on the power play made it 4. Jackson Whistle started this game, 25 shots on, 4 against, and Ben Bounds, 33 shots on, 3 against, and as I said, David Good and Tom Pering were the 2 referees. At your request, David, we will actually start this before we get into discussion with the Saturday's comments from post-game by Adam Keefe.
I thought we had some energy and some jump, mentally, some mental errors, and you know, we find ourselves down 2-0 after 1. Don't start the game on time in the second period. Again, kind of some mental mistakes individually. 4-0. I thought the last 38 minutes from our team was great, much more like we need to be. Worked our way back in to give ourselves a chance there. Had multiple opportunities to either tie that game up or get 5 of our own at least. Bounds, you know, he made some big saves there for them. I think obviously it's probably difficult for Cardiff to play up 4-0, and that's probably you know, they get catch them on their heels, and then we keep coming there. So we had our opportunities to get back into the game, but you know, when you gift, I think we had 5 odd mans against, at least 2 of them on the power play, and give them 1 on the entry there on their power play to give them the first goal. You know, you're making it easy on. That's a very good hockey team. And when you make it, you give them those easy opportunities, those the ones they don't really need to work for, they don't need to break you down, they're going to make you pay, and they did that tonight. You know, obviously, there are a lot of threats offensively on that team, and you know, we gifted them some opportunity tonight, and they took it.
David, you want to follow up there from the head coach, Adam Keefe?
Yeah, I thought the keeper's post-match was incredibly, well, enlightening. He pretty much nailed the whole game on the head. The first goal is a terrible deflection off Jeff Bond goes to block it, and it just takes a little flick off his skate and handcuffs Besko. Besko goes for the shot, and that deflection beats him. Second one, we're throwing it up the middle of ice, and we're scrambling them back into position. Somebody open at the back door, 2-0. Third one, actually, D-man's puck watching to an extent. He knows his D-man, he knows the forward there. It's actually a D-man coming through, I think, says from memory. He checks over his shoulder, he's there, takes his eye off the man to go back to the puck. And that it's a great long throwing in past the back stick. And it's the D-man, I say, crashing the left post. And then the fourth one, we've got this, we've been playing over the last number of seasons, this sort of swarm defense where, you know, if it gets in behind the net, we'll send 3 men deep on it. But that then means that everybody has to buy into that. Your back checking forwards have to be covering the house. We've lost the board battle, it pops out in front, and we've got guys, I'm not going to say they're coasting back in, but they're not back in position ahead of the incoming forwards and D-men. And you lose those little puck battles, the board battles, the desired battles. And once you're 4-0 down against the Cardiff Devils, though Adam's absolutely right, we played very well in the second half of the game, probably outchanced them. They've probably taken their foot off the gas to the extent, and once that momentum swings back the other way, it gives us a lot of, and we had a lot of pressure in the game and opportunities to score goals. But ultimately, and we've talked about this on a number of occasions this season, when you put yourself behind the 8 ball so badly at 4-0 down against a pretty good hockey team in the Cardiff Devils, certainly offensively a very good hockey team, you're not getting back into it with the best will in the world. Bounds did come up with some big saves, but we've got to convert on those real download chances. Simon talked in commentary again, the old hockey cliches about gripping the stick a wee bit too tight and whatever, but you know, we've had good chances to maybe even tie that game up. Wasn't to be. I actually thought across the weekend, if we're going to take two games as a kind of just to keep things moving, probably across the two games and chances created, and I go back to that XG, and I know I was having a bit of a mock at the start, opportunities and stuff that we had, we did enough to win both games, but we made, as Adam called them, little mental errors, individual areas, little mistakes in the wrong places at the wrong time and got punished for them and left ourselves just too much to do. And unfortunately, against the second place team in the league, you can't do it.
That's it, season. It's like we go down early, they get momentum quickly, and we're second to everything, it seemed, after that.
Yeah, the bottom line is we did not start well. I mean, in the first period, we didn't. They came ready to play, and it looks like we didn't in the first period. You know, Davey just touched on it there. Mentally, you need to be dialed in games like this as well. And I thought that we sort of lacked that mentality early on in the first period, especially. As the game went on, I thought we got stronger. I thought we actually finished the game. What Cardiff did, I thought the third period, I don't want to use the word dominated, because Cardiff sort of sat back and absorbed the pressure. And
yeah,
from the pressure that we were putting on them, wasn't enough. But when you concede goals like that to Evan Mosey, I'm not taking anything away from Trevor Cox's pass from the blue line. One of the best passes I've seen all season. Here it is again. I mean, it splits three Giants players right through the middle, and just a tip past Besko, which... In that close on the redirect, and Dicko mentioned it when we were going through the highlights on Sunday, it's very, very difficult to try and see it. And then the fourth goal wasn't much better. Again, simple mistakes that are being made in the defensive zone. I think this is the fourth one coming up now. You know, it goes out, we break out of the zone, they head it back in again. And there's a board battle. We lose it again. Here it goes again. You can just basically see for the people watching on, I think it's Cameron Pound gets there first. Riley Brandt comes in after him, loses or wins the battle, and Tyler pushes out front all on his own. You can't do that against a team like this. Obviously, Besko was pulled. Jackson came in. I thought Jackson did very well. You know, we managed to get a foot back in the game again, getting that first goal with the power play. But again, it's games like this when I think you said at the start, Paddy, I'm not 100% sure. I think you said 4,700, and we'll correct that. I think it was 7,400. But you know, we had over 14,500 fans in there at the weekend, and it seems like you have 14,000 people over two games, and you don't turn up at the first period and in the first game. How people can't get up for games like this? It bewilders me. I just don't understand it. This is the type of thing you want to be playing hockey for, and unfortunately, yep. there was just one or two lapses in error and in judgment, and unfortunately, as I say, you're going 4-0 down against the Cardiff Devils. You can't do it. You just can't do it. They're a good, very, very well coached team, and it was disappointing to see. But as I said, as the game went on, in my opinion, I thought we got better. And I thought, are we talking about Sunday, or do you want me to put a hold on that?
Well, hold off for just a minute. We'll come up. If you want to touch on it, go for it. But we're sort of running the two together, so work away.
Yeah, I thought that we were the better team early on Sunday as well. I thought we sort of did learn from lessons on Saturday. But, you know, again, injuries, it's a pain in the backside. Bobby Mack left the game Saturday night injured. We had to bring Charlie Curley back in the lineup on Sunday. We ended up starting with the defenseman because we just don't have enough guys. I know there's going to be people out there who are going to have a go at having enough guys for a laugh, but we don't have enough forwards. Again, I mean, there's another mistake there. The shot's high and wide. I can't move to it. Maybe the hang took it. It goes right the whole way around. Will Collins beaten by speed from Trevor Cox, and that makes it 5-1. Very difficult to come back from that. In the third period, but it was a disappointing weekend as a whole, especially in front of two sold-out crowds.
Davey, seeing Tyler Besko-Rowney pulled from the game is not something Belfast Giants fans are used to seeing. Was it warranted?
I think this is the archetypical coach pulling the goalkeeper, pulling the goaltender to give the rest of the team kick up the backside. I went through the goals with you. First one's a wicked deflection, second one's defensive coverage, third one's a great pass but poor defensive coverage, fourth one's a board battle that we don't win. And like, whenever you're listen, a goalie like Besko will probably look at them and go, well, maybe I could have saved one of them, maybe, you know, but the greatest will in the world, a tip in front times two and a guy standing in the slot where 95%, well over 95% of goals come from, right down low in the house, and a deflection. So I don't particularly think any of the three goals were on Besko. I think it was, right lads, you've sold your goalie out here, we're making a change, we'll play slightly defensively differently as well. When we play in front of Jackson, we play two slightly different systems, and it changed things around, and we give up less opportunities. But it was you can't bench 14 guys, so you have to, you know, sometimes change the goalie to try and give them a kick up the backside. So as Simon said, Sunday night you've got Travis Brown playing on the wing, and you become cynical and you say injuries as an excuse, and we always say we're no excuse organization, but when you put the facts down of what we've been dealt in terms of injuries this season, it's been very, very difficult, and you know, these things take their toll on you. And unfortunately, you've Friendly, or somebody just asking about an update on Jacob, you've obviously Friendly going out during the game as well on Sunday, and obviously then one of the guys who's playing wing drops back in the D, but that leaves you then, you're running three lines and maybe three lines short. So you know, it is what it is. We've came out of the weekend, no points, unfortunately. I guess one of the things you try and find positives, power play, number of power play goals. Power play looked a wee bit snappier at times, certainly that top line with David Goodwin on it. Moved the puck around a little bit better. We have been slightly maybe perimeter and wee bit static on the power play at times, and even at times across the weekend we're a wee bit flat footed on it. But you know, those goals came on it. Obviously the major penalty gave us a good 5 minutes to get time on the power play out there. But you know, it's another weekend where we'll look back and we'll rue on missed chances, and you know, that kind of puts to bed. I know everybody will keep going to things are mathematically impossible, but for me, at this stage now, not conceding the league title or anything, but I think this is a stage where it's about getting people fit and healthy and warmed up and to save a season and defending the playoff title.
It's funny, I'm going to just flip this over to Sunday a little bit more and lean on Sunday and ask you a second, but I'm just, from what you just said, Davey, I had a quick look there, and there, you're right about this XG, and this not a really good advert for the new tracking system with regards to the Elite League, when the Giants are looking like 3.2 to 1.93 with an expected win of the Giants, and then you flip it to Sunday and it's more or less the same. So where do you think that's fallen down?
No, I think the tracking's absolutely perfect.
But these sort of algorithms that decide based on location of shots, types of shot. Yeah just not
great. It's mostly based even strength, of course, but you know, that'll be where their opportunities are coming from, who the players are taking them, different things. But across those, that's what we're saying, across the two games, we probably had the better grade A chances. We're under converting on our, that just tells you that you're under converting on your chances and you're over conceding on the chances that, so you're letting in more goals than you should and you're not scoring as many as you should, because the XG should give a fairly accurate scoreline. You know, that in terms of, if you watch that game and without the goals in it, you'd say, yeah, the Belfast Giants should have won those two games based on the sort of the scoring metrics that are put in place. But if you don't put the puck in the net and you make it easy for the other team to score, unfortunately those XGs get slightly skewed.
Says physicality. We get a player go down in the corner. Unfortunately, the screens have to come out once again, but a player goes down in the corner and there's no, that you can see it on social media and the like, there's no kickback. Nobody seems to step up. We do have a player come in and have a word, but surely there needs to be some sort of physicality in that game.
Do you know what? It's a difficult one to answer, Paddy. You know, in the situation with the first person who was on the scene, which is Ben Lake, I'm not surprised the way the situation ended up, because I'm not going to go into details with regards to the injuries Ben's had this year. But yes, it wouldn't be the smartest idea in the world for him to do what would, a lot of people maybe would have expected. The guys, the way Jacob Frank goes down, and I said at the time, I didn't think it looked that bad. Now, our angles, you guys know where I do the commentating from. So with the Rand Barrow, who was the guy who made the hit, standing in, directly in front of the player, which would end up Jacob Friend going into the wall, it didn't look that bad when I first seen it the first time without any replays. When I seen the replay, obviously his head goes into the wall first, and it was very worrying times. And second week in a row, I've had to sort of commentate, and when you see the screens coming out, the screens don't come out if there's nothing wrong. And it is very concerning. And I don't want to sound as if I'm belittling what happened to Jack Hopkins last week, but when it's your own player, a guy that you know, and you work with, you see him more or less, you know, 4 or 5 times a week, you sort of have that little bit more, I don't even know what the word is for it. It's you feel more attached to him, obviously Jacob at that time, than Jack. And don't get me wrong, it was terrible what happened to Jack last week, and thankfully he seems to be on the mend, which is great. But see, watching, knowing the type of player that Jacob Friend is, and him getting up from that injury and that hit, it was the biggest relief I've had in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And watching him up and make his own way to the change room. And I know that he's very, very sore. I was speaking to him after the game, and I told him that I didn't think it was as bad when I first seen it. But with regards to your question, and sorry for going off on a tangent, but with regards to your question on the physicality side of things, I can't remember what the score was at that time. I think we were down 2-1, maybe 3-1. I think, I'm not 100% sure. And you know you're going to get a penalty, and then you're going to get a power play out of it. And if we had took another stupid penalty out of that, we probably ended up, would have been, it could have been 5-on-5. Sorry, it could have been 4-on-4, and you've got a penalty in the box, a guy in the box, you're waiting to see what the call was going to be on Rand Barrow. It's a really difficult one to answer because of the current situation of knowing, as I say, Laker getting there first and knowing the injuries Laker's had this year. We know that Baker would have obviously stepped in. But then when you look at the face that Rand Barrow, and watch the image back and see Rand Barrow, you've seen that he didn't, in my opinion, he did not mean to make that hit. I don't think he's that type of player. But if you watch the play back, and I don't know if you've got it on this, Pat, I don't think you do, actually. No. I don't think Neil included it in the highlights.
Not in the highlights.
But if you do have the opportunity to go back and watch it, and you see the expression from Rand Barrow, everybody could see that the kid was, oh, I've actually hurt this guy, and I did not mean that. And that's one of the ones that sometimes, if the game had been on, does somebody step out there and you line up in the line, the gloves are dropped. Yeah, that could have been the situation. We'll never know now because he's thrown out of the game. But the bottom line of where we are right now is Jacob Friend managed to get up off the ice and make his way off the ice, which is probably the biggest relief that I've there in a long, long time.
Anything to add, David, on that? And you're muted, by the way.
Anything to add on that? I agree with Simon in that I don't think Barrow meant to make the play, but the numbers are there, and you don't, you know, he does make contact and he puts Jacob into the boards. And unfortunately, as Simon said, after a bit of treatment and stuff and a bit of a stiff neck, I assume, you know, he's going to be okay. But, I thought, was it today or yesterday we were talking about this, Simon, and and Laker yesterday, Laker being the first man and knowing the injuries he's taken this season, I don't expect to and wouldn't want to see Ben Lake stepping in that position. When you're playing 8D because you're short on up front, you don't want to be losing forwards either, in terms of whether they're sitting penalties or whether they're potential risk to injuries as well. So in that situation, look, we've got the major penalty. We've scored 2 power play goals on it and put ourselves from 2-1 down to 3-2 up. So you can't say it's, in terms of game management, that's been a bad decision by anybody. Games change, lads, as well. You know, there is that as well. Games change. Old dinosaurs like us mightn't like it, but the game's changed. Sorry, Simon, go ahead.
On that, Paddy, would I have liked to see somebody, Ron, get straight in there and dig your head right off him? Absolutely. But
I think a lot of people would, but like you say, I think you're absolutely right in that term, Davey. I think the game's changing.
So game's changing, and even if he takes a 5-minute major at that point, and he's probably fighting, we're probably then having a 2+5+10 as well. Yeah. Certainly an instigator getting called there as well. So you end up, we had it in Nottingham a couple of weeks ago where we've ended up bad hit on Bobby McIntyre, and Charlie Curtis came in and takes 17 minutes of penalties and doesn't get his gloves off. So there's that factor. We talk about the instigator penalty all the time, and it's a toss of a coin whether you're getting it, whether you're not. So in that instance, yes, the old Davey wants to see somebody trailing the head straight off him, but the game's changed, lads, and we have to slowly accept that that's not what's going to happen anymore. And, you know, as I say, go 3-2 up, and at that stage, things are looking good. And, you know, I had us -1.5, so I was hoping we'd go on and make it 5-3. But unfortunately, you know, they pin us back and said at very start, Paddy, XG doesn't tell the whole story of the game. I think we deserve something out of the weekend. Unfortunately, we didn't get what we deserved.
Let's hear Adam Keefe's comments from the end of Sunday's game and then come back to talk to Simon about icing calls.
Really happy with our first period. Really happy with our game overall was pretty good in terms of some of the possession and scoring chances we had. We had some opportunities to extend our lead. But I did think that, Cardiff from the second period on, I thought that you could see why they are where they are in the standings. They have some real firepower. I thought, they took it to us there for the first 10 minutes of the second period, and I thought that 5-minute major obviously changed the tide in our favor, and we had some big goals there to kind of claw ourselves back and get the lead. I didn't love the start of our third period just in terms of being able to sustain any ozone pressure. They were actually the ones doing it. A little gutted. I thought we did enough to win that game. We just we didn't make the right play at the right time, and we gifted them a few goals that are some mental mistakes that we got to stop making. If we cut down on some of the grade A's that we are giving up, we're going to make it a lot easier on ourselves. We got the 3 goals tonight. We needed to keep them at 2, and we weren't able to do it.
So the Devils are under the cosh. They ice the puck. It goes to the corner. Davey, what are the statistics on this?
Listen, we've talked about this on a number of podcasts over the course of the season, and one of my things that I like analysing the most is face-offs, infractions of face-offs, things that don't get called, things that do get called. And on this occasion, like, we've got them pinned, we've pulled Jackson out of the net, we've got a 6-on-5 situation, we've pinned them, and we've had a couple of real good ozone shifts. They ice the puck. I think Dicko says on commentary, they're bound to call an icing, or they're bound to call a timeout. Simon reminds him, can't call a timeout on an icing. So we need to be smart there too. We need to get those face-off dots quick and force delay games. What we did, we hemmed and hawed a wee bit as well. 74 seconds between the icing whistle and the puck being dropped. Two and a half, if you like, timeouts. It's I know what Simon said on the podcast or on the webcast. It's hard to argue with the logic, drop the puck or call it delay game. That's the two options there. Players being smart and broken sticks and changing up when you shouldn't, that's not really that linesman who's got the puck in his hands job. There's 3 other officials in the ice to deal with that. Simon obviously said what Simon can say, and he can stick up for himself in that, but drop the biscuit and get the game on going. And if players aren't there from Cardiff ready to go again, then call it delay game. Give the warning. And if they're still not there, ready to go, either drop the biscuit and get on with it or call it delayed game, which gives us then a 6-on-4. Completely different complexion with whatever, 1:30, 90 seconds left in the game. But you can call it veteran moves, you can call it clever from Cardiff. Simon called it the official on it. Everybody in that situation needs to be a wee bit better.
Nottingham Panthers did exactly the same thing to us earlier this season at the SSE Arena. Mr. Kitchen, you're the one calling that. What are your thoughts?
You know what, and like, see when you're doing something live, and you guys have been on it before, when you're saying something live and you get frustrated with regards to, as Davey pointed out, 74 seconds from pick up of the puck, driving whistle right all the way down the ice, we do need to be quicker. With regards to what I said and saying about Nelson being inept, I thought that that's probably a bit strong. I'll be honest about that. Am I going to apologize? No, I'm not. Because everybody needs to be better, as Davey said. You've got people there. Tom Pairing, if you watch the play, Nelson goes to drop the puck. Both players are standing there. Delay comes happening. He puts the hand up that basically says, if you're there, you're getting a warning there. The hand goes up again as if you're actually getting a penalty for that. Tom Pairing comes over towards him, points at him. I obviously can't hear what he's saying, but I'm pretty sure he's saying, drop the bloody puck. It takes forever to get that done. But they should have had another penalty out of it. The bottom line is, am I going to criticize the Cardiff Devils for that? Absolutely not, because
that's the game.
I would expect that Adam or the players to do exactly the same thing. But you need to be quicker. It needs to be done. And that wasn't the only one when the whole delay. The amount of times that pucks are being dropped and retakes are happening, and then you're losing. When you look at the clock, I can't remember what game it was. It was either Saturday or Sunday, but there was 2.9 seconds on the clock. Cardiff get a face-off on our end. The puck goes down. The clock starts ticking away. They end up taking 3 or 4 minutes to basically get it back. Now, again, timekeepers take a long time to get it back to 2.9 seconds that are on the clock. And it's taken forever to drop the bloody puck. Davey analyzes puck drop more than anybody I've ever looked at before or spoken to before. And he's more critical with regards to, you know, the guys are there. If a guy's not in the right spot, then tell him he's not in the right spot. Instead of standing there and just holding the puck, the guys are ready to go. Drop the puck and get on with the game. With regards to Tom Pairing, I thought Tom Pairing was excellent all weekend. I thought that David Good made us
one
call. What? I did something.
There was one call he's made from 200 feet, which wasn't great, but you called it on the night as well.
Called it on the night. Like, again, the whole thing needs to be better. I've already said it this year with regards to officials, and I know they've got a difficult job, but I do it. I've done it before. I've refereed and deadlines man jobs before as well. It's a hard thing to do, but get on with the bloody game. People come to pay to watch the players, not the officials. Just drop the puck, play the game, and get it over and done with. You're saving probably 10 or 15 minutes on pucking up because of all that goes on. So I'm probably going to get myself into more trouble, Pat. I just keep talking about something else.
Right, let's wrap it up from here. The 4 points for the Cardiff Devils. We'll come back to talk about league permutations and stuff shortly, well, later in the show. The highlights, if you are so inclined, hello to everybody from Cardiff, if you're so inclined, are available from Belfast Giants TV on YouTube, and we batter ahead. Before these games, the Belfast Giants were delighted to welcome a new face into the roster, bringing him in from the Alex Svensken. I can never say that, the Swedish second division. Alex Svensken.
Hi.
Shut up, you. delighted to well, but where you played last season, but it's coming in to join us this season. Delighted to have you. Welcome to A View from the Bridge, Blake Spears. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Turn your phone 90 degrees if you can.
Okay.
You got it all. So.
You need to take your lock off.
Hang on.
There we go.
I was just about to do this.
Nice Wimbledon jumper. So, welcome to Belfast Giants. How's this come about?
Just, you know, I've been sitting home for a little while and talked to Kiefer a few times over the course of the season, and he kind of just had pressed upon me their need for some players right now. And, you know, I had fortunately enough spent some time in January getting ready to play just in case the opportunity presented itself, and it did, and I kind of jumped on it.
You said you hadn't played this season. Had you decided not that you were done, or and you've been brought back, or is it just a case of you were resting?
No, obviously, I think at 27, I'm only 27. And wasn't something that I had initially planned to do, but I was unfortunate with with an injury last year and something that I'd kind of had to work through, and unfortunately wasn't getting much better for me. So I kind of planned to go a different route with my life at that point. And fortunately I do have the ability to rehab it for a little bit here in the last 20 games and kind of see where that takes me.
Here, Blake, welcome to Belfast bit. Obviously being out for so long is difficult physically and mentally, but what's it like being back in a locker room again?
Yeah, I think I've said to a couple of guys, it's that amount of time to be away from the game, and especially kind of not thinking that I was going to return, gave me a lot of perspective on just how lucky we are as players to be a part of the professional hockey culture, and has certainly given me a different outlook. And you know, a bad day at the rink is nowhere near the same as a bad day anywhere else in the world. And obviously, it's a game I grew up loving, and so yeah, being back in the room, being with the boys, and the banter, it's all great.
I know a lot of them have said that you're 100% one of those team first guys, but have you set yourself any sort of little personal, not targets because there's only a few games left in the season, but just like what you want to do with the rest of the season personally?
Yeah, honestly, just to strictly come in and have fun with it. I mean, obviously the goal number one is to come in and do everything that I can to help this team be successful in these last 20 games. But, you know, coming from a situation such as mine, I think goal number one is you never really know when your time in pro hockey is going to end. So just come in and enjoy every second of it. And I think that will kind of translate to whatever positive on-ice results I'm looking for.
Just before you go, Simon, is that a good life lesson, Blake, that, you know, you have something as good as a pro hockey career and it's almost taken away from you and you've got almost a second opportunity at it?
Yeah, I think for sure. I kind of knew while I was waiting that maybe the opportunity would come. So I was preparing myself for it, but for sure, especially at a young age, you know, last year, if you would have told me I wasn't going to play this year, I would have said no, like no chance. So in the blink of an eye, things can get taken away from you. And so just to go in and have a really positive attitude, enjoy every second of it. And maybe that's something that I haven't necessarily done over the course of my whole career. Obviously, you go through tough times and you think like, oh, I don't really want to be doing this or whatever it is. But then you quickly realize when it is taken away from you that was a little bit short-sighted. So yeah, certainly a life lesson and something that moving forward, if I continue to play after this season, I'll certainly have in the back of my mind.
Blake, we had a chat there on Saturday, I think it was Saturday morning, maybe Friday. And you know, it's been a long weekend for you, a bit of travel, and you got to see London yesterday, Monday, you had a look around. And but the situation now, obviously, you want to start preparing to play. How are you settling in with the boys? I know you were on the ice this morning getting a skate in. I know you're on Saturday morning as well. How are you settling in?
Yeah, I think it was good for me. Obviously, I flew overnight Thursday night and got in Friday morning. I think a positive thing for me was I was able to get here in time to get on the ice with the guys, and that kind of, you know, shakes off any of the rust and anything else right away, and then you get a chance to go back and get some sleep and you know, get the nutrition right. And now, obviously, I've got a full week to prepare to play in these games this weekend, and I'm excited and I'm feeling pretty good.
You know a couple of boys around the room as well. You play with Naz, you play with Bobby Mack, and how is that? I think Paddy was there a few. Was it no year in Peterborough a couple of years ago, Paddy? But how was that playing with Bobby? Because you know, Bobby didn't do too bad in Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah, I think we had two really good years together in the Sioux, and a lot of fun, and we were able to build up a pretty good friendship and have kind of stayed in touch over the course of the last couple of years. Wherever we've both gone to play hockey, we've always managed to stay in touch. So upon finding out that he was here back in November, it kind of piqued my interest a little more, you know, maybe one last shot to play with a good friend of mine. And I'm happy that we could make it work, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting back on the ice with him.
Sault Ste. Marie, you're a Sault Ste. Marie boy. You also end up being captain of the team there. How did that feel of your hometown team to have that letter in your shirt?
Yeah, I think that was something like I grew up and I was a season ticket holder, the Sioux Greyhounds. So I watched the Hounds from probably the time I was seven until the day I got drafted by them. And yeah, obviously you kind of grow up and that's a dream of yours. And obviously I was able to accomplish that, and something I was very, very proud to be able to do. And you know, it comes with a little bit of a blessing and a curse, because obviously that adds a little extra pressure and extra eyes on you with what you're doing and how you're playing. But all of that stuff's good, you know, with great honor comes great responsibility, or great power comes great responsibility, something like that. And I think, you know, if you're going to reach the top level of your game, those are the things that you got to be able to play through in order to get there.
You also now join a select bunch of players who will have played under both Keith brothers. Are you going to sort of have that sort of comparison between the two to see how Adam stacks up against Sheldon?
I don't know if I'm necessarily going to have a comparison going, but it certainly was something, you know, in the back of my head when Adam had originally reached out to me. You know, I had pretty good success under Sheldon, and also like a really good relationship with him. And you know, I think in coming here and getting to know Adam in these short couple of days, I see a lot of similarities in their philosophies and stuff like that. So it's something I'm really looking forward to diving into.
We'll bring it back to the sort of the action upcoming this weekend. We've got two games away in Scotland, which will come with a little bit of travel for you as well. And then you're going to get your first taste of home ice. You've obviously been to a couple of games at the weekend and you saw the big crowd. You must be licking your lips at looking forward to getting out in the Odyssey ice in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was hoping to get to see what they would be like in during a win, but unfortunately things didn't really go our way this weekend. But yeah, the crowd looks incredible, and the support that you guys get in Northern Ireland is something that's super impressive to me, and another reason why I wanted to come, because you know, you're sitting at home for so long, you miss playing in front of a crowd and getting that feeling of excitement when the crowd's cheering you on, especially a home crowd. So no, I mean something I'm very excited for, and something that I'm also very impressed by. The, you know, like growing up in Canada, you don't really know what the level of support looks like in Northern Ireland for hockey, and obviously something that was quite eye-opening for me once I learned about it.
Well, listen, hopefully you settle in well. Hopefully and we see you out on the ice scoring goals and doing good things. Thanks for joining us, Blake, and best of luck.
Yeah, thanks, guys. No problem.
Big thanks to Blake Spears for his time and welcome to Belfast. We're going to batter on straight away because we have waiting in the wings, man who's traveling, so we're going to bring him in straight away, the head coach of the Belfast Giants, Adam Keefe. How are you doing, Kiefer?
Not bad. How are you guys?
Yep, doing really well. Doing really well. Give us your reflections on the week. We heard your post games, but now you've had a few days. Give us your reflections on the weekend.
Obviously, defensively, we weren't strong enough, but I thought that certainly it was a big improvement Sunday in terms of, you know, our offensive output, and loved our start to the game on Sunday. Ultimately, you know, there's a lot of positives from our game, but we certainly need to clean up some areas defensively. And you know, ultimately, that's the message this week again, you know, that we need to clean up some of the mistakes that we're making defensively if we want to win hockey games. And
is he so
Glenn Gormley, Wi-Fi is brutal.
Hello? Oh, is he still with us? He's still there? Oh, I heard something. Nope. Davey, obviously, you know, he's right. You know, defensively, we do have a lot to clean up there.
Listen, we talked about this in the early piece in the game about Adam was the one that described them as, you know, those little mental mistakes and positional mistakes that were maybe made over the course of the weekend. It must be incredibly frustrating for him as well when you put a whole week of practice in and you come out, you leave yourself a mountain to climb against a team like the Cardiff Devils. So, but, you know, all we can do is, as we've talked about, is just go left foot, right foot, and you know, continue to follow the process and hope that those little mental mistakes get drilled out of your game as we go down towards the playoff run.
You back with us?
I am, yes. I'm not sure what happened there. It can't be my internet over here.
We've just had a conversation with Blake Spears, who you've brought in recently. We've mentioned that he's, I think Kyle Bond is one of the players I can think of, but one of the few players that have played under yourself and your brother. But what are you expecting from him coming into the side?
Yeah, just a player that's his both sides of his game are well rounded. I think that when you talk about playing for my brother, he had some real offensive success there in the OHL, and I think he's a guy that figured out a way to grind and make the NHL. And sometimes when you do that, you play the right way and you're solely focused on adding value all the time defensively to ultimately make the NHL and stay there. Sometimes you lose a little bit of your scoring touch along the way because you're so focused on not taking any risk so you lose a little bit of your creativity there. I think, him coming in with the mindset that he's had, I listened there to him talk and I've had my meetings with him. He's highly motivated and almost a newfound love for the game after missing out this season. And he really wants that. So, he's going to get the opportunity here to have play a big role on a team here and try to help us get things back on track. And, I'm pulling for him. I think that he's a guy that certainly has a lot more hockey left to give, and I think he can really help this team.
David?
Oh, sorry, come back to me after. So kind of what I was saying there, Adam, just when you dropped out there, how frustrating has it been when you put those plans in and you have good weeks of practice and maybe, to use you on your own terms, the guys don't exactly start on time, and you find yourself, like, when you're 4-0 down, what are you trying to say to them here? Is it just to make the next shift better? Or, you can't climb a 4-0. You've got to climb a 4-0, one goal at a time.
Yeah, I mean, getting down 4-0 against anybody's not fun. Certainly against Cardiff, that how dangerous they are offensively. They're the second best team in the league offensively. So we knew that going into the game. It was something we touched on. We knew that they have the capability to sting you if you give them those opportunities. So frustrating that we gave them too many opportunities. And, this is a game of mistakes. And we're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. The players are going to make mistakes. It's just about trying to collectively eliminate more of those mistakes so we're making less of them. And that's going to, hopefully eliminate a goal a game against, right? And if we're still working towards trying to get into that 3.5 to 4 category where we're averaging 3.5 goals ourselves, that's a work in progress. And I think that we took great steps this weekend towards that. And some real chemistry there with that Lake Tedesco Goodwin line. Power play obviously had 4 goals, although we gave up 2. So another area we need to clean up there. But like I said, some real positive signs in the lineup. And obviously we're missing some key bodies in Blake Spears. Mark Cooper hopefully is not too far away. And Greg Prince, we'll see where he's at. But like, there's some guys that are coming back into the lineup that will help really impact the lineup when they get back.
Adam, your fifth year coaching now. Obviously, you took a break during COVID when you were doing all your, growing potatoes and tomatoes and what have you. But
successfully.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you think you change as a coach?
I think every year there's a new lesson. I'm still learning all the time. I think this year's lesson was just how mental the game is. I think that you look at the Champions League, where everybody's feeling pretty good through the Challenge Cup, 13 wins in a row, 1 loss, few injuries here, and then things head the other direction. And I'm actually a big fan of adversity early. I think the problem this year was that adversity we didn't quite handle well, and it got away from us, and now we're trying to fight through it and get ourselves back on track. And it's unfortunate that we've dropped as many points as we have in the league, and the Challenge Cup went the way it did. But obviously we still want to get things back on track and win as many games as possible here down the stretch. And ultimately, as I've been saying to the players, we want to feel good about our performances, win or lose, and if we can honestly say that after the game, then we can accept that. And for the most part, the performances, I feel like in the last month or so, some of the losses, I felt a better vibe around the locker room. I felt, guys were still competing, whereas I felt in November, December, there was some mentality that whenever something went wrong, we went away. And I think that's something that we're fighting off, and I feel that that's trending in the right direction. And, like I said, I feel everybody's frustration. I think, I want to win. The players want to win. I know the fans want to win. I know the organization wants to win. Winning is not easy, and that's a reality. I think that, we've obviously had a lot of success over the last few years, and we've come to expect and almost take for granted winning and how hard it is to achieve. And it's something that we've not done well this year, and we're working towards that, to try and get our game back so we can have performances that we're proud of, not just, on a one-off basis, but on a weekend basis where we're feeling good about the whole weekend. And then, that's when things start to build and trend in the right direction. And certainly analytically, I think that there's a lot to be positive about, and things are trending in the right direction in some areas, and we got to knuckle down on our weaknesses, and that is certainly some of the opportunities we gave up there on the weekend that we're going to discuss and we're going to go over on video and really just try to eliminate those ones from our game. And if teams want to score on us, they're going to have to do it on the power play, or they're going to have to come through us 200 feet and network us in our own zone for 45 to a minute and really wear us down and make that difficult on teams. But right now we're gifting them some goals that are, especially when you're playing against a team like Cardiff, you can't be giving those opportunities up. And ultimately, you look at the two shorthanded goals and the two goals that we coughed up in front of our net. Those are gifts to a talented Cardiff team.
Let me just wrap up all this, and we appreciate your time. But by asking you about this weekend, obviously we've got two games on the road with regards to Glasgow and then on to Dundee. But we also lose a lot of players to international duty, both not just with GB, but Tedesco going with Italy, Sato going, and it's frustrating that we still play these games. Some teams are going to be hurt more than others due to the fact that we've got these players here in the lineup. Are you frustrated? Because obviously you've got a quite a large part with regards to the GB setup. Are you frustrated that games go ahead this weekend?
It's not ideal to lose this many players for a weekend. It's not for Cardiff, Sheffield, and some of the other teams that are losing multiple players. At the same time, I understand that. I think that there was, something had happened there with the Olympic Committee and allowing, I think, Russia and Belarus back into it and kind of bumped GB but down a pool. So, some things happened outside of everybody's control in terms of, the schedule was made and then this happened. So I do understand it at the same time, right? These are our business, and we do have enough players to go ahead, and I think a pretty good lineup for the weekend. So, there's no excuses there. It's exactly like that next man mentality, and everybody's going to get a lot of ice time, and we have what we have for the weekend, and I fem pretty confident about them. So I'm looking forward to a good week of practice and trying to build on some of the positives we saw last weekend and trying to eliminate some of the weaknesses we saw last weekend as well, and try to get this thing back on track. And it's going to take some big performances from some guys to really get us over that hump and get us rolling.
One last one. Obviously Jackson Whistle is part of the GB setup in his way, but Petrček comes back in. What is he bringing in?
Yeah, I just actually dropped him off at his hotel there. He just flew in. Petr's a great story and a great example for our players of what can be achieved if you commit to everything fully. I mean, he's a guy that you read all the the books and watch all the documentaries about the best of the best in their field. And, you know, he certainly is one of that for goaltending and football. And it's not hard once you get to know him and you see him go about his day to day as to why he had the success he did. He's very highly driven and passionate guy about his sport, but obviously about ice hockey as well. And we're fortunate that he wants to come and battle with us and help us out at a time when, you know, we always like to have more than enough keepers at practice here to make sure that everything's flowing correctly. And we're already going to be down enough bodies in practice this week that, you know, when Jackson was picked to go to GB, that we knew that we could call on Petter to come in and help us out. And, you know, we're just thankful that he is willing to do so. And, you know, we'll see how this week goes for him.
Listen, we really appreciate your time, especially after a long trip down to the airport and back. Thanks for joining us, mate, and good luck this weekend.
No problem. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Big thanks, as always, to Adam Keefe for joining us. And we move ahead. This weekend, as we said, we have two games on the road in Scotland, one in Glasgow, and then on to face the Dundee Stars. And once again, delighted to welcome back friend of the show, the head coach of the Dundee Stars, Mark Lefebvre. How are you doing, mate?
Hold on, guys. 45, 46. 47. I'm just counting how many players you have on your roster. That's what I'm just wondering. That's all. Just double checking on that one. So
you should know by now, we're the Belfast Giants. We do what we want.
Apparently you do. So.
That might be the case, but the Belfast Giants will be short on players coming into your arena.
I just count out. You still have 47 guys available.
A quiet weekend. A weekend of only one game for yourselves. You faced off against the Guildford Flames. It went all the way to overtime. How do you feel the Dundee Stars have been playing this season?
I think, like everybody else, we're just trying to find consistency. Other than Sheffield, teams 9-2 through 10 haven't really found consistency throughout the season, and we're running those. And we find ourselves in the middle of the pack, just like everybody else. You know, one weekend can change your season. You can fall down places, you can move up places. So it's just a matter of finding consistency. And for us, it's just making sure we get points every weekend, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. We just need to get something out of the weekend.
Where are the real battles for you?
Well, I mean, we're so tight. I mean, we're close to you guys, 4 points back. But then you kind of looking behind us, there's Manchester, there's Glasgow, Fife. You know, they picked up some points. Then we get Nottingham. You know, they picked up points as well. So, you know, so long way to go here. So it's a challenge every weekend.
David?
Coach, what's it been like? It's been 5 or 6 years since you were in the league. Is it good to be back? Does it feel like it was Dundee the last time you were here as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's great to be back. I like the parity of the league right now. You know, there's no Edinburgh games anymore on the schedule or like that, but there's everybody can win every game. You know, other than what Sheffield's been doing, every game's been tight. You look at the amount of 3-point games that have been going on throughout the league, especially in the last month or so. It makes the league look a lot better and more competitive.
What's it been like for you with the two caps, with the head coach and the director of hockey ops as well, taking all that extra responsibility on? Is it up the amount of hours you're spending at the rink, or has it been a fun time?
No, luckily I do a lot of work from home as well. So it's just more of a mental thing, really, to be able to work at home and find that balance. You know, you can, as long as you have Wi-Fi, you can work from anywhere. So it's, you know, it's a fine balance. I think the two jobs go hand in hand with each other, whether it's for the recruiting or dealing with other stuff away from the rink, and obviously the on-ice product of it. They just go hand in hand with each other.
Oh, you're muted, Says.
It's 2020 again.
Yeah, sorry about that. You just mentioned there about Edinburgh not being in the league. I mean, obviously, you know, the three Scottish teams this year, you're all taking points off each other, and Glasgow sort of started the season feeling a little bit optimistic. They were right at the top of the league for a week or so. But do you miss the likes of Edinburgh Capitals? I mean, especially with the rivalries you would have built up having local fans coming up into
Yeah, for sure. For me, I think it'd be one of the better cities in the league. And obviously, I played in Edinburgh one season. I had a great time with it, and it's unfortunate not in the league. But you want to make sure you have every team that's going to be competitive. And you see that this season, how competitive everybody's is every weekend. So you want to make sure you have competitive clubs and make sure they're structure wise on and off the ice are formidable.
If you, obviously you're a head coach and general manager in the league, if you could make one rule to make the league better, what would you do?
Oh, I think we go with the Olympic system in terms of points. I think the 3-2-1. That's one thing I like to see, get in line with the other European countries. But I like to see the playoffs actually be playoffs, a best of five or best of seven format. Every other league in the world does it. And then that's not to disparage that, you know, a team winning the regular season and league title, obviously. But I think for hockey purposes, we want to see a true playoff.
You mentioned consistency, which I find, we spoke about it last week ad nauseum, because obviously it's something that most teams search for. You also mentioned parity, and you know, and I know coaches like parity. Fans say they like parity. They don't. They want their team to do what the Sheffield Steelers are doing and run teams down and score nine and have the arrogance and the sort of the success to rule them all. But consistency is something that is so difficult for some teams to find, especially if they're, you know, in real battles. How do you find that consistency? Because you've got the guys, you've got the player. You look at Valentini, he's 24 assists. You've got Spencer Nass scoring. So how do you get that down the lines? Where do you find that consistency?
I think it's making sure we're competitive and doing the right things every weekend. I mean, it's like we all take this past weekend. Our goal is to get points every weekend, like I said earlier, and that's all that matters to us, and make sure we get into that top eight and make sure we make it into the playoffs. So the consistency on that part of it is making sure we're doing the right things and all the little things to make sure we're picking up points. I think minimum you want to pick up 2 points every weekend. Obviously everybody wants to pick up all four, but as long as you're picking up two every weekend, you should make it into the top eight.
Where does Kevin Carr come into this?
He's been outstanding for us all year. He gives us a chance every night, and that's all you can ask for in your goaltender, whether he's an import or a Brit, doesn't matter who's in the net. And he's a competitive player, person as well. You see that in practice every day, the way he handles himself on and off the ice, and it rubs off on the other guys. He doesn't say too much, but he does all his speaking mainly on the ice.
Let's talk slightly about off the ice. Good crowds are starting to come back through the doors at the DIA. Simon referenced the Caps there, who obviously have dropped down a few levels, but are getting increased numbers coming through the doors. Those numbers coming through the doors are now allowing you to put an eye on the next season as well, because you know if you can put a good product on the ice, people will come, people will pay, and it's the vicious circle then that you've got more to develop the product and more people will come.
Well, I think the main thing, you want to make sure you have a competitive product, and it's nice to have a rivalry with Glasgow and Fife, because they do bring a lot of fans. But I think throughout the league, people travel. I think you guys this past weekend, you know, with Cardiff, they brought a ton of fans there. It's, you know, whether it's in Nottingham, we still bring fans to Nottingham no matter how far the trip is. It's good to see in our league that we have that other fans from other teams travel. In terms for us of our home gates, they've been excellent since Christmas, and I think having an exciting team and a competitive product every weekend helps that. But I got to give a lot of credit to Pash when he was here. He really built the off ice and the business structure of it over a 5-6 year period to get new people, new sponsors in the building, get the town excited about hockey in Dundee. And obviously it's carried on to the season.
And you must be excited. And I'm sure it's in all the local papers, the big teams coming at the weekend.
I thought we're the bigger team in the league, aren't we? So you guys are coming to us. I thought, yeah, but no, it's, you know, everybody talks about the big teams, little team thing. It's but you see there's big teams now that haven't done as well as they thought probably in the league. And there's smaller teams that are doing very well in other parts of the league. So yeah, crowd size, building size. Yeah, you could call them big clubs, little clubs, but just look at the standings and how competitive the whole league is and parity across the board.
One last question from me, Coach. How do you approach this weekend? Because obviously you've got quite a trip down to Surrey to do first, and to take on the Flames, and then you've got to pack it all up and get back in time for the 5 o'clock face-off the next day. You know, that's a long. But the Giants have to travel as well. But obviously we'll be in Glasgow the night before, and then we'll move across. how do you approach that weekend with regards to the travel all the way down to Guildford and back?
Well, we're going to leave Friday, the day before the game. So we'll be in Guildford Friday evening and proper preparation for 6 o'clock start on Saturday. But we've had these games before all season. We play at home on a Saturday night, had to get up at 5 a.m. and travel all the way to Guildford. And we've got two results there so far this season. And we didn't go into Nottingham as well, the same problem. So we don't take travel. I know some coaches in this league use travel as an excuse, but you know what you're getting into when you come to the Elite League. It is what it is. Everybody wants to have at least one home game mainly every weekend, and you just get on with it. 2 points are 2 points, whether the travel's good or bad, you just get on with it.
We might have Tom Cullen in a few weeks. Oh, sorry, you didn't mention any names. You didn't mention any names. That's it, Coach. We really appreciate your time. Good luck in Guildford. No luck on Sunday. We'll hopefully catch up with you before the season ends.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, Coach.
Big thanks to Mark Lefebvre. One of the things we just want to come back, just circle back on a bit, is obviously we mentioned it there with Adam Keefe, is the return of Petr Cech. With Jackson Whistle gone, says, you know, Kiefer made it quite clear as to what Cech brings to the locker room, not just from his hockey ability and what he's able to carry in his load, but mentally and what he brings into the locker room with regards to success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a guy with that much experience, whether he's playing football or hockey, it's unbelievable. And you know, I was lucky enough to be around him there when the last time he came into Belfast, and obviously at the end of last season when he came in for the Ukraine game. And he's just a delight to have around. And the big thing about it is there's no airs and graces about him. He's chirping the boys. I think he was chirping longer about giving the haircuts to the boys and not finishing them. And some of the art guys, it was funny when I said this before about the video that Adam made, because some of the boys are young and didn't actually know who Petr Cech was. Yeah. And they're sort of, you know, I wasn't in the room at this time, but I spoke to a few guys who were in the room when he showed the video. They're looking up at the screen. And then all of a sudden you can sort of, one by one, you can see them all just turn around to look at Petr Cech sitting right there. All these trophies that he won. And having that experience around the room, it's great for the team. I've seen a lot of negativity on socials about, bringing this in as a joke. It's not a joke. It's genuinely not a joke. We feel that he can do a job for us. The social media recover, or you know what's been on the last couple of days, you can see how much it is, not just for the Belfast Giants, but for the whole league. You know, this is a major coup. Make no mistake about it. And we're delighted to have him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him tomorrow morning.
I find it funny as well for like somebody like Longer, a big Aston Villa fan, but he knows who Petr Cech is, and you know, he knows what Petr Cech's done. He's watched Petr Cech play against his own Aston Villa. So to actually now be chirped by Petr Cech must be weird. Like it must
be even chirped me for being a Spurs fan.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you know, it's sure, it's one of those things where
if they cup one with Arsenal, I'd also like to point out, Damien.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Patrick.
But Davey, what's your take on it?
It's great to have another goaltender in that can take a proper part of practice, can help take a bit of the load off Besko and Dick over there, and you know, come in and be part of it and back up if required. And even in case of when he was here the last time, Besko went down hurt, he was able to come in and, you know, have a 100% save record. One of the only goalie in the league with that. But you know, it's great. He seems to really love his hockey, and as Spearsy was saying earlier there, it's so important mentally to have somebody that loves the game and has gratitude for, you know, probably didn't ever think he'd get the opportunity to do this, and he's getting the opportunity to do it, and he's getting to live a second professional career after his first one was finished, and those kind of things. I love those stories. So, you know, if he brings a bit of positivity and a bit of, you know, mental upswing into that room at the minute, and a team that's been up and down a little bit, you know, there's only positive things can happen when you pour positivity into things.
It's, you know what? World-renowned, successful, Champions League-winning goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to play for my team. But also, his drumming is ridiculous. He's just one of these all-round talented people that you just hate. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, mate. Pass it out to some of the rest of us. Ridiculous. But he's, no, it's good to see him back. Good to see him back. And it's great that he's able to step in while the lads are off with GB and the likes. We'll come to that in just a second. What I'm going to do now is I'm just going to reflect on the player of the month that was awarded at the weekend for February, as sponsored by our good friends at Phonacab. Let me just bring up... Oh, of course, I've not got it prepared, which I should have done, but there it is anyway. With over 50% of the vote, 54.5% of the vote, this week's player of the month... Sorry, this month's player of the month for January. All over the place, boys. January's player of the month is Josh Roach. Congratulations to Roachy. He was presented by Helen and Kira. Big thanks to them for presenting that. Says I'll start with you, Roachy, player of the month.
Yeah, I said it last week. I thought he was, you know, coming back from the injury and working. I just seen how hard he worked the whole way through the summer to make sure he was back as soon as he possibly could. And as I said, but I think he actually probably came back a couple of weeks early because he seen that the guys were in a bit of a hole and he wanted to try and make the effort. And you've seen it the weekend. You know, he knows himself. He made one mistake there. I think it was their second goal. Otherwise, he was outstanding. Scored a good goal on Saturday night. Got an assist on Sunday. He's such a smart player. Such a good guy. And delighted to have him back around the room again, around the boys.
David?
Yeah, and to echo what Simon said, actually seeing him just in the face-off circle, just down in front of Simon, he actually said to Simon's favourite line, just drop the puck. Come on, so he gets it. I was really fortunate to spend a wee bit of a day with him last summer when we were doing some charity stuff, and he was just telling us how hard he was working to get back on the ice, and he knew even in, I'm going to say that was August time, late July, early August, that he knew it was probably going to be Halloween at least, so it wasn't going to be instant. He was going to have to work his butt off for another 3, maybe 4 months with that carrot that's dangled to get back in for the second half of the season, and he's been a threat. Breath of fresh air. He's had a lot of minutes up, even though he's only back in, and he's dependable as anything. And you know, he's getting up there, I think, with Ben Lake on Simon's dream team. You know, so he's vital to this organization going on these last 20 odd games this season.
Yep, absolutely. Can't argue with any of that, gents. Congratulations to Josh Roach, the January Player of the Month, as sponsored by our good friends at Former Club. Thanks to everybody who cast their vote. And when February ends, we will start to look back and get those nominations in and do this all again. Right, couple more things to do before we finish. Just a little bit of news. So what I'll do is I'll play the goals of the month for you while you are while I'm reading some of that for those who are watching on. Sorry, goals of the month, goals of the week. Oh, it's been a good day. the Nottingham Panthers are probably the story of the weekend. 3 points on the board from the weekend, but notably a road win in Coventry.
Oh, good goal.
Despite going 2 goals down within 59 seconds, they subsequently scored 6 unanswered to win 6-2 and secure 2 points, adding to the one that they got at home to the Blaze in a 5-4 shootout defeat the night before. Sheffield remain on the march. They've put 14 goals past the Clan in 2 games. A 5-2 win in Renfrew was followed up by a 9-3 shellacking of Glasgow back in South Yorkshire. The league title currently looks more when than if, but we'll see what happens in the stretch. Sheffield have also reached the Challenge Cup final despite a mildly unprofessional announcement prior to the second leg of the semi-final, which everyone in South Yorkshire had an excuse for. But ultimately, the pronouncement of holding the final proved correct as they coasted past the Blaze with a 10-1 aggregate win. The opponents will be decided on Wednesday night in a winner-takes-all battle at the Spectrum between Guildford and Glasgow. In a matchup that used to have a bit of heat to it, seemingly no more, Storm took 2 points from the Flyers, while the Flyers took 3 points from the Storm of the weekend. A shootout defeat at the Drizzle Dome, adding the extra point for Tom Coolan's men. And the only other game to mention is Dundee losing 5-4, as we said earlier on. Peter Cornell's goal, 1.5 minutes in the additional period, gave Guildford the full points. Let's have a look at the Elite League table. Sheffield, as I said, let me zoom in a bit more.
Let's move on.
Sheffield lead the way, 59 points. That's a 14-point lead on the Cardiff Devils in second. Guildford are in third, 41. And ourselves, we are in fourth, 40 points off 34 games. Blaise, 2 points behind with a game in hand. Dundee, as Mark Lefebvre said, are 4 points behind on 34 games. Storm on 34 from 34. And Glasgow Clan are 32 from 34. Fife and Nottingham are in the 9th and 10th spots, Fife and 29. Nottingham on 25 with 31 games played. What are the real battles here, gents? I think, you know, obviously, Davey, it looks from it that Sheffield have a lead that you mentioned earlier on. Is it unassailable? Are they champions elect at this point?
Nothing's ever done that's done. However, it's a big uphill struggle for Cardiff or ourselves or anybody else that's in and around those positions. You've got to go perfect and hope that they drop an awful lot of points. Very difficult, I think, from our own perspective. And we were in the same position last year, to an extent. You just have to worry about yourself every night going forward here on in. And you just got to take care of your own business and see where the chips land at the end of the season. We can't worry about Sheffield. We can't worry about Cardiff. We've just got to worry about the Belfast Giants. And that's the great thing about supporting this club. Don't need to worry about anybody else.
So Sheffield have added their team this week. Patrick Harper, a Friendship 4 alumnus from, I think it was a BU he played for.
Yep. I disagree with David. The league's over. Every other team is getting ready for playoffs. Cardiff, ourselves, Guildford, Dundee, all, you know, basically it's going to be jogging for who's getting home stance on the playoff. The Steelers aren't going to be caught now. I think it's, well, the way the point situation is right now, I think Cardiff, who are closest to them, need to win every game between now and the end of the season and hope Sheffield lose 6 games. And that's it's not going to happen.
Four games against us.
Adam and I talked about that today. It's a big ask. I mean, they're just playing that well, and they're even when they're not playing well, they're finding ways to win. So it's the Steelers have been a different gravy this year. They really have, and you know, I'm not going to blow their trumpet anymore. It is what it is. But everybody's getting ready for the playoffs now. You get ready down the stretch. You basically put yourself in position, try and get everybody healthy. And do I think we've got a chance to win the playoffs? Absolutely. If we can get everybody healthy and start getting on a roll here to, you know, you want to win. We talk about getting on a roll. It all starts with winning the first game. If you win the first one, you hopefully win the second one, and then you pick up points from there on. And up until last weekend, you know, out of the previous 10 games, we picked up points in 9 of them. So it's we need to start getting on our run here now and getting a bit of form. As Adam mentioned in his interview, there's been some positives taken out last weekend. You have to say, you know, 4 power play goals, I think, were scored. But when you concede a couple of shorties on said power plays, it can be a bit of a pain in the bollocks as well. So time to go. Just, you know, get ready this weekend. Next up is, I can't even remember who it plays. Is it Dundee or is it Glasgow next?
Glasgow.
So next up's Glasgow. Let's just get ready to go on Saturday.
Do you know what? The way Sheffield are playing, it doesn't happen quite often where a team is this dominant on a run to go and you know, on a run to the title. The last one I could think of was us. And the team that had, like, well, Adam Keefe and Dustin Whitecotton and, you know, Calvin Elfring and that sort of stuff that had, you know, really great defensively, really good goal team in and, you know, that we're able to get that. It's the road element of it as well. It's being able to do what they've done. They've lost one game on the road, and it's the 6th of February. Yeah. That if you hold your own games and if you do that on the road, then, you know, that's where it comes.
Sean asked me at the weekend, somebody had said last week, is it the best Sheffield Steelers team ever? I don't know. I don't really pay that much attention to Sheffield. But they then asked me, do you think we would have given a game with any of the Belfast Giants Championships teams down the line? 100%. I would have put last year's team, when we were at our peak last year against the Sheffield Steelers team, do I think we would have won? Yeah, absolutely. Vesco, when he was playing, you know, when he came in January, February, March last year, was unbeatable. That's just the way it is. If you basically played 6 out of 6 against the Steelers last year, I would have fancied us for at least 5 wins against those teams. So they're a good team, make no mistake about it. But again, you talk about the Dustin White Cotton season. Even the one in 2021-22, last year, 21-22, isn't it? Or 22-23, 23-24. Not last year, the year before.
Yeah, 21-22.
So that would have given them a really good run for their money as well. So they're definitely not the best team ever in the Elite League, in my opinion. But they're definitely a good team this year.
I think, not to look back, that team was Surrett and Whitecott and Suez. You know, the Paul Eady was huge. Do you know what? I also look back at that team and think what might have been. Yes, we have won the Grand Slam, and it's something that I'm so pleased and I still live off from last year. But I look at that team as well, and I think that team had it in them to do it, and it just sort of that was it, Davey, the collective exhale that came after.
It's I see comments as well. Somebody, Alan Brett, saying I can only hope Sheffield drop off after they ultimately go on and seal the Elite League. And yeah, there's possibility of that happening as well. Teams, especially when you've lived with the pressure, we talk about the weight of the Belfast Giants jersey being too heavy for some guys, but like Sheffield haven't won an awful lot in a long time. So this is big for them. When these wee clubs come up and win leagues, it's massive for them. It'll be massive for their fans, to celebrate a league championship after almost a decade. So, you can only hope that maybe the guys get on the sauce a wee bit too much and they have that collective exhale. You got to be standing ready to kick that door up the hall when that opportunity comes.
Yeah. Two games this weekend, as we've mentioned, Saturday, 7 p.m. over in Renfrew to take on the Glasgow Clan at Brayhead Arena. You get that on Clan TV. And then, as we've just been talking with Mark Lefebvre, we're away to the Stars on Sunday at 5 p.m. at the DIA. That will be on Stars TV. Just your two gents take on something that I mentioned with Adam Keefe is the fact that the GB games that are taking place and the other international games that are taking place mean that we are short on players. Is this a bad decision from the Elite League, considering, one, the build-up on what GB could have... We talked about it previous weeks. The GB are in a position here in the to qualify for the Olympics, which is huge. So give the guys more preparation time. But also, Sheffield, Nottingham, ourselves, Cardiff, we're all losing players for a weekend of games. Is this a bad decision from the Elite League, Davey? No.
I think that Adam said it best whenever he's... there's a finite amount of, when you've got a 54 league game season, you've got 12 to 13, whatever games it is in the Challenge Cup. If you go deep in it, you've got 2 weekends of playoffs. There's a finite amount of dates, and those dates are set before, and Adam said about Belarus and Russia coming back in, which we wouldn't have needed. We wouldn't have had this weekend in the calendar. And unfortunately, it's had to be shoehorned in. It is what it is. You've just got to... It's kind of sucking up for Cardiff. Cardiff have lost their coach. Fortunately for us, Adam's staying with us rather than going with GB on this. There's four away with GB, one away with Japan, one away with Italy. Not ideal, certainly at this stage of the season. I don't think the EIHL can be blamed on this one. They could have said, okay, we'll hit the pause button. That then has a knock-on effect on the Dundees, on the Glasgow Clans, those guys that are waiting on Belfast coming in on a weekend instead of us playing on a weekend. We'd have had to go to Glasgow on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever, but I had to go to Dundee midweek instead of 1,200 being there. They've got 700 there instead, And knock on things like we have flights booked, we have hotels booked, we have boats booked, whatever, whatever that might be. And there's money decisions to be made all the time here. And look, it would have been ideal if Belarus and Russia had to do the qualifiers instead of GB. Those are the breaks whenever you're developing nation, whenever you're trying to get... And look, it's critical. I think we should be okay and we'll come through this group. Say we, GB, come through this group and get that last stage of the qualifications. And, hopefully if we do, we'll have you there at one of the games, Paddy, cheering and boys on.
Who will be playing? I'll get a shirt. Davey, says your take on it?
I would have liked to have seen a break. Just only to see, GB concentrating that, but also it's always nice to get a break as a player, midway through a season. It would have been nice to try and get a few days off when recuperate and prepare like they did last year. But like I totally understand the situation regarding the clubs and finances, and we're, David touched on it, we are still technically a developing nation, for hockey. And, you know, it's some teams have lost players, other teams haven't. Dundee will have a full squad this weekend. I'm pretty sure Glasgow are, apart from Rob Lakovic. But now I've just seen that they called up Craig Peacock from Solway. So he's unretired and back out again for the Glasgow Clan this weekend. Oh, tomorrow night, actually.
Tomorrow night.
Now, I'm not sure he's about the weekend, but this he's playing tomorrow night for sure.
So, yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. Right, I've got, you know what? I'm in a bit of a position here, gents. My wife's locked out downstairs, so I'm going to wrap this show up really, really quickly. I just got a text.
I just want to say, I mean, loads of people are asking, did we get the hat off?
Oh, yeah, Dale, I was going to say that. I was going to say, any other business, gents?
Yes.
It's, we take the cap off and let's see the haircut.
Heads
or tails, baby?
It was your man last week. It's heads or tails. My hair's nearly as short. Happy birthday, my dad. It's Roy the Builder's birthday. Happy birthday, dad.
Happy birthday, Roy. Take your hat off.
I'll give you a side view. He says, that's all, Dale. I'll give you a wee side peeker. Look at that there. Oh, my goodness. How do you do this? I don't know. It's very short.
You're double your dad, by the way. Look at the back of it. Sure, yes, sir.
Shows the back of it.
That's a short one, mate. And you were standing out in the rain watching Nelly playing hockey.
It was a money-saving thing. If it's, they get a cut, get a skin fade, it'll be me two haircuts, you know.
Really hot.
How old are you this year?
I'm going to be 30 this year.
I know you are, though.
I won't let Joe in there. See you later.
No, it's right. She's out. She texts me, says she's going to sit in the car to take my time. Those two games, is any other business, boys? Any other business? Says you got anything?
Just thanks to everybody who donated, whether it was shirt off the back or into the buckets or bought stuff at the OSC desk on Saturday and Sunday for the Cancer Fund for Children game and for the Chinese Welfare Association. Absolutely outstanding. Our fans are the best. And of course, you always get that minority all having a go and saying about this, that, the other. But from the people that donated and you know, the cancer charity, we're very, very, very thankful for everybody that stuck money in the buckets. We only do that for our official charities and then obviously the Chinese Welfare who came along on Sunday as well. So very, very, very grateful. Thank you very much indeed.
And also, well done to all the Cardiff Devils fans. Quite a big travelling crowd, as tends to happen. A big travelling crowd over to Belfast seemed to have a great time. Right, yep, two games. Away to the Clan, Saturday 7 p.m. Away to the Stars, Sunday at 5 p.m. If you're not making the trip over to Scotland, then you can get those on Clan and Stars TV. Big thanks to Blake Spears, Adam Keefe, Mark Lefebvre, everybody who has added and interact with us. If you're listening in at AVFTV on Twitter and the likes, big thanks to everybody who's sent us message on YouTube and Facebook. Davey, you were just about to say something.
Happy birthday,
Dad. Big happy birthday to Davey's dad. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Sports Social Podcast Network.